The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, the key to overcoming long-term afflictions.
I got my own thing going. I got my own problem. Anybody else, can you say the devil's not the only problem you got? Look at one another and go, the devil's not the only problem you got. Amen. And it's not your husband either. Not your wife. Just sometimes us. Amen.
The secrets to overcoming your afflictions. Next.
This is Betty. I'm James, and we welcome you to Life Today. At the conclusion of the program, if you'd like to get Beth Moore's devotion titled Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, Devotions to Begin and End Your Day in God's Presence. Beth is teaching on affliction. She's talking about really getting control of our mind, talking about programming our mind, about the necessity of the Word of God, the washing in the Word, the renewing of the mind in the Word, how important that is. There really is no substitute for it. All the preaching, all the sermon, all the books we read, and I read a lot of them, and I hear great sermons because I got a great pastor at our church, Gateway, where Robert Morris preaches. But there's no substitute for the Word of God. And so Beth's going to not only be teaching you the Word, but she's going to be encouraging you to deal with affliction and challenges in the Word. Would you welcome Beth Moore? Here she is.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have asked over and over. Now, I told you, I'm getting kind of a hint. I think maybe something revolutionary is about to happen. But I prayed many, many, many years to be completely delivered from it. So what I've come to, I have felt like that God's answer to me has been not out loud, but His answer to me has been after a little while. After a little while. Well, I ask you, I just want to put this out on the table, what would be the use of it? And why would He let that happen? Why would He let that happen? What would be the use of giving the enemy that much leash? Now, mind you, He's not in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me and I am sealed. This is just, it's just mental torture. It's my thoughts just messing with me, just messing with me. But why God leaves this? I deal with something enough to where I can't just go like, fix it and move on. Because sometimes some of our afflictions just don't fix like that. And it's frustrating to us because we know He could do it. I mean, like, Lord, now, 30 seconds, I could be done, relieved, never have to have it again. Why in the world do I go through this? Why? You can deliver me from this. Well, because one reason is because it's extremely humbling and it keeps me from coming to you and giving you A, B, C of how to pull your life together because certain things just don't fix that easily. The Apostle Paul was left a thorn in his flesh strictly so he would not have pride over what God had revealed to him. The more you and I let God reveal Himself to us through His Word and through His ways, the more He's going to make sure He has some humbling forces in our lives so that we don't just get all full of ourselves and gross ourselves out. It's going to happen. So it humbles me terribly. It puts me on my face. Yeah. It puts me on my face because I don't know. I got to be desperate when it's going on. So it'll just put me literally face down, just flat to the floor. I want to tell you this one because this one is like way up high on the list, as I think that dealing with pride would be to God, way high on the list. But this one, listen to me carefully here. This mental thing that I have a tendency to go through, The fact that my mind wants to spin out of control and be vulnerable to harassment and my own self-torture and torment is my, listen carefully, number one motivator for memorizing Scripture. Number one, number one, number one. In fact, it's number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. I'm sure there's other, like then it gets to something else at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But I can tell you that it is the number one driving force why I put so much Scripture in my head, so that when the enemy starts all of this, or when my own thoughts, he's not responsible for all of it. I got my own thing going. I got my own problem. Anybody else? Can you say the devil's not the only problem you got? Look at one another and go, the devil's not the only problem you've got. Amen. And it's not your husband either. Not your wife. It's just sometimes us. Amen. Sometimes us. And what we find is that we got to go to some measures to get our mind protected. And the thing about it is one, memorizing Scripture is one of the greatest joys and most satisfying things I ever get to do. And so the very thing that I've hated has driven me to it, and it's given me one of the things I love most in my entire life. Does that sound like maybe a legitimate reason why God would go, you know what, for a time? I want to go, look, do you kind of think 85 years is time? Or, I mean, how long is this? Are you thinking of it in your terms, 1,000 days is like a day? I mean, what do you mean by short? Because this is looking long to me. But, I mean, that's huge to me, huge to me. I want you to turn with me someplace. You're already in the Psalms. Stick something there because we're coming back. But go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Now, sometime, maybe even next time I have this opportunity, sometime you and I are going to study some things out of Psalm 119. It is powerful. And the whole mammoth thing is about the power of God's Word in the life of a man or a woman. And I want you to see Psalm 119, 92. I mean, can you believe we're saying verse 92? That's how long. Go with me to verse 92, and I want to show you something. Our key word, if you're just now joining us, our key word is, tell them, affliction, affliction. And so we've been talking about an affliction is something that just afflicts. It's something that just wants to force us into submission, and that it has our knees bowed to it, that the only way we can deal with an affliction is to submit. We're either going to submit to the affliction or we're going to submit to God, but we are going to submit in an affliction. It makes us do so. That's what we're camping on right now. Verse 92 uses the word in the NIV and the ESV and some of your other translations. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. If you made me say, give me five verses that most tell your testimony, I'd have to get to that one. At some point in those top five, if your word had not been my delight. The word law there, you think, oh no, that sounds like the Ten Commandments. That's not what that word means. It's Torah, Torah. It's the way we would say Torah is the way someone in Judaism might say it with the accent on the second syllable. It means the totality of God's instruction. It can mean the commandments in Exodus. It can mean Scripture in its entirety, or it can mean the way He instructs us, how He wants to lead us to go. All of that could be considered. It's the way He transmits information is Torah. And so when they use it, they're using it very, very broadly and in many different contexts. If the law, if your instruction, if your word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I am certain of that. I am certain of that. And what I want to tell you is, because I think this is such a good point. I've told you before, I try to think, what question would you ask? What would I ask if I were sitting out with you? Well, okay, so like, what if I don't? It's just not delightful to me. It's just not delightful to me. Then I'm going to tell you, girlfriend and guy friend, to pray for it to be. Because I believe that I can say to you with all of my heart and be right dead center in Scripture to do it, you will not have victory over an ongoing affliction if you do not have a love for the Word of God. because that's what offsets when we've got especially mental torment. It's what's going to offset it, because then we replace it. When the enemy starts it, then that's when I know I'm going to pick up the scriptures and I'm going to say it over and over. When I'm driving to work, if I'm feeling that way, I'm going to say it to work. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. The word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I want you to see verse 98. Because I think this is so powerful, and we're going to camp on this in just a moment. Psalm 119, 98. So you're just dropping down a few verses. It says, "Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me." Now, as New Testament believers, you and I have been told in Ephesians chapter 6 that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and unseen places. So when you see the enemy, when David or a psalmist, the sons of Korah, Asaph, whoever it may be that are penning the Psalms, Moses penned a few, when you see them using that word enemy, very often they meant a physical enemy, but to you and me, that is the princes and principalities of darkness. That's what we've been told. That's our enemy, because we're told to love our people enemies. We're told to love. So we don't get to go, "Oh, Lord, burn them to the ground and their house is with them." You know, those are imprecatory psalms. And that really, I mean, they did it some. And he still got to go, "You know what? Not today. I don't want to. I'm just not in the mood to do it today." So even though the psalmist might have asked him, he might not have done it. But in the New Testament, because of the power of the cross and the power of the life of Christ given in our behalf, he says, "I'm telling you, love your enemies." So our enemy, our true enemy that we get to hate, we really only get to hate one enemy, and that is the devil and the principalities with him. So when you see that, when you go back as a New Testament, when you pick out the word enemy, that's what you're talking about. And so what this says is, if I'm in the Word, and the Word is my delight, I become smarter than him. I'm going to let y'all sit with that a minute. I become smarter than my enemies. I become wiser than my enemy. Your word, delighting in your word, it makes me wiser than my enemies. So I can be on to it in a way that if I don't love the word, I cannot be. So what we're saying is, if you don't like, "Okay, Beth, this is not the most fun I ever have." I get that. For many, many years, it was not all that fun to me either. But listen to me carefully. You won't sustain a steady diet in the scriptures on discipline alone. It ain't happening. Anything you're going to sustain for very long, it's going to be because you want it. Whether that's marriage, whether it's freedom, whether it's Jesus, whether it's fidelity, whatever it may be. After a while, a discipline is a great place to start. Sometimes we just have to go, stop it. That's a beautiful place to start. Sometimes we just like do the right thing when we feel the wrong thing. My point to you is we can't sustain it in the long term that way. It will have to be something that we want, something that our heart is wrapped up in. And that can be true of the scriptures. Any man or woman, any one of us has the capacity, if the Spirit of Christ lives within us, he loves his own word. He loves his word. So when he's filling us, he is activating that part of himself in us where we have the ability through him to begin to love it. And listen, there's nothing to make you love it like the fact that it gets you out of one mess after another. I love it because it's my freedom. I love it because I would live in a hole, a ditch. I would waller in where I come from, you waller. I would waller in a pit if not for the love of Scripture. Pray to. That brings us to number four. We've been building some points together. So far we've got one, an affliction is something that can make you feel alone. Number two, an affliction is anything that afflicts. There you go. Number three, affliction always involves submission. But number four is this, and I messed with this sentence trying to get it shorter and shorter, but I cannot drop one of the words in it. The love of Scripture applied, and I want you to put applied in all capital letters because it's crucial. The love of Scripture applied separates affliction from destruction. The love of Scripture applied separates affliction from destruction. We can just love, we can have a student mind. You can just be kind of scholarly and just like enjoy the study of the scripture. And we can do exactly what James 1 says. We can just go out and live the same old way we ever did. But he who peers into the perfect law of liberty and fixes his attention there and does not become a forgetful hearer, but one who lives it out, he will be blessed in what he does. He will be blessed in what he does. He'll be blessed. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're thinking, oh, God just always wants to make me love the scriptures. You know what he said? It doesn't make God feel any better. He's going, you know what? I could bless you if you love the scriptures. I could bless you if you love the scriptures. Not just to study it, but you like to apply it. You know, when I've told you guys this before at some point or another, but sometimes someone will come to me and say, I have done Breaking Free 3 times and I'm still in bondage. And I want to go, well, you're in bondage to Breaking Free and you need to break free from it, actually. But you know what I really have to say, and I try to find a good way to say it. It depends on what mode I'm in, how well I can say it. I try to say it very tenderly. But did you do what it said? I'm not asking if you did the study. I'm asking you, did you do what it said? You got to do what Scripture says. Not just like, oh, I read it. That's a good word. I'm going to just be the same old way. But Scripture applied. Do we love Scripture applied? Have we seen, Lord, you've saved my neck through this thing. You have saved. Listen, Psalm 19, it's also on Torah. It uses that word a lot of times, instruction. And he says, by your precepts are your servants warned. I one reason I love the Scripture is because I've been warned by it. I've had a sense about something. I have thought I was going to go handle a situation a certain way. I'm an employer. I didn't mean to be. Good heavens, what happened here? But I am one, and I've got about 15 people whose paychecks we sign, and it's the scariest thing, but I can think I'm going to handle a situation a certain way, and I get in the Scriptures that morning before I go, and suddenly God's like, shh. Through His Word, not out loud, we'll do something different. And by His Word, His servant is warned.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Boy, that's powerful. I think God does put a holy hush on us oftentimes. Be still, be quiet. It's interesting, Betty. I don't know if it has to do with old age or what we call maturity. I don't know if all maturity comes, or most of it, when we get older, and maybe we're too, you know, tired or weak to resist the patience and the quietness that we need. But what I have found, when I get in the presence of God and when I pray, I find myself listening more than I'm talking, which is one of the rare times for me not to be talking. You agree?
That is a good deal.
Yeah, that is. Well, it's a miracle. Would you agree? It's a miracle.
It is.
But what I have found, don't I listen to you pretty well too now?
You do. You've become a great listener.
Well, I really want to be. Because
and what you're talking about, and those are some of the most special and precious times for me too, is just when I get with God and just sit at His feet, so to speak, and just let Him talk to me.
And that really is the calming effect that hearing Him say, as Beth said, shh, just listen. Father, I pray for people to have peace of mind that only You can give, and that Your Word will give them. I pray You'll give them a hunger for Your Word and transform thinking and take us through challenges and afflictions. In Jesus' name. And I thank You, Father. I hope you'll get Beth's devotional book, Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights. Let me tell you what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to help be a part of a miracle. We're asking you to be the answer to a heart cry, to a need that you can be the answer to. This is not like, okay, we're going to pray about that. No, wait a minute. Somebody's praying about it and crying out for it. We're going to be the answer to it. We're going to be the solution. I want you to watch closely because you're going to see very clearly the difference you can make and love will make. Watch. And there really is, and it's so simple, it's as simple as not just a cup of water. Because there's no way, Betty, that Jesus would say, if you will give just a cup of dirty, contaminated, disease-ridden water in my name. There's no way. He was saying what we have here in our blessed nation and in the advanced countries, non-contaminated water. And it's a big concern to us. Those precious children and those parents and grandparents and people you looked at were thinking about children that had died drinking water, disease-ridden water. We can change that this year with God's help. And Betty, this is a big, I'd say it's a step of faith, but it's listening not only to the missionaries, but I believe to God. The missionaries have shown us 500 areas where there is water that we can get if we just drill in 12 nations, and it will change everything. We want to give them water for life. Yes, we'll tell them about the water of life, but I'm going to tell you something. Until you demonstrate the power of love and God's love, people aren't nearly as prone or anxious to listen to it. We need to show them the love of God. Betty, I believe every viewer watching can help us drill a well. Do something to help us drill these 500 wells.
Me too, James. And as a mother, when I watch the mothers weeping because either their child is dying or they have just died, James, that breaks my heart. And a simple solution is that we drill these water wells so that they don't have to watch their babies die because of the contaminated water.
Well, I've been praying that every viewer of Life Today all over the world, and I want to say to all of you and Canadian provinces, all of you in the United Kingdom, all of you in Australia, all of you in the United States, I've been praying that God would put it on the heart of every person who can to find a way to drill a well during the course of this year. $4,800. That may be for some of you, say, well, that's quite a stretch. Listen, God can do it. We see children get it on their heart and they do it. They find ways to raise the money. But here's what I know, and Betty, this is the key. Everybody does what they can, and this is important. $48 toward a $4,800 well will give 10 people water, basically the rest of their lives. $144 will give 30 people water the rest of their life. There is a level at which you can participate. If you can give $4,800, I believe you'll do it. I believe their children are thinking right now, how can I do it? They're going to find ways to do it. Their couples, their companies, their churches, their prayer groups, and their individuals will say, I'm going to do it. But at whatever level you can participate, it's important to those 10, if you give 48. If you can give a portion of a well, 2,400, and pray, God, let somebody join me. Another 2,400, we've got a well. Give the 1,200. Whatever you can do, we're asking you to make that gift. We have some gifts to bless you, to encourage you, and to inspire you. But you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life. Call the number. Use your bank card like a check. Or if you write a check, call us and tell us what you're sending in the mail. Would you? Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift right now. Please do it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Betty and I just want to say thank you for your gift. I do want to mention that the 50th anniversary Robert Summers bronze, Living Water, this is a special edition. We're celebrating our 50 years of marriage. Isn't that a miracle? Miracles still happen. This girl stayed with me all this time. She has a miracle. And also 50 years of ministry. But we're sending that for those of you who will give a gift of $1,200 or more or a well. Whatever you do, ask for blessed mornings and restful nights. If you can make the gift of over $100, ask for morning and evening praise and the hymns, how they were inspired and written. An incredible instrumental praise. You'll like this. Thank you for watching Life Today. Tell your friends about Wednesdays with Beth and encourage them to watch us every day. You're going to enjoy our guests and the messages. You'll be inspired.
A lot of people think, well, you're just going to talk about that Proverbs 31 woman. Well, we talk about her, but there's 4 other females in Proverbs.
Beauty by the book, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.